Elizabeth Gower is a bowerbird of an artist. Since the 1970s, she's been making art from the paper we regularly throw away: magazines, newspapers, supermarket catalogues, labels. Elizabeth's collages crawl and race and stumble and slip across the frame, never letting your eye and mind drift from the essential energy of the work. Elizabeth, thank you so much for coming on the show. And you're well known for your collage work. Can you talk me through your process?
All the materials I've been using for the past, say, 30 years have been paper, printed papers from magazines, shopping catalogues, brochures, posters, billboards. I've basically been collecting papers and stashing them away in my studio for years, and then I bring them out depending on what I'm looking for: imagery, colours, shapes, text. Actually, I was doing something last night and looking for a piece of paper, and I was going through a box and I found something that had the use-by date of 1992 on it. I can't believe I still got it in the studio.
Oh, great. Fantastic. And is that something that you've been... So you've been doing it for years and years, but is it something that you remember as a child also doing, this sort of stashing away of interesting bits of paper?
Yeah, I did used to collect fragments of papers, packaging. It's kind of quite strange because my grandmother ran a milk bar and I used to collect all the different varieties. And in the same way that someone would collect stamps, I'd sort of collect sort of packaging, which is, you know, quite, I'm sure a psychologist would have a bit of a field day on that as to why I still do it, you know, this many years later.
Do you have any idea yourself why you do it?
Well, I did start collecting imagery when I was painting. I'd collect archetypal images, cars, you know, aeroplanes, so I could copy them. And so these collections of sort of a resource centre of figurative elements. And then eventually I think those cut-out elements became the work in itself. Mm-hmm. But originally it was just collecting a huge library of imagery.
Yes. You know, Elizabeth, it's so interesting talking to a variety of artists over the last year, and so much of an artist's work seems to be very much rooted in their habits as children.
I know. There's an exhibition there somewhere about that, because it is interesting. I think because there is that moment in time when you get into this void, this kind of space, and I think there's an addiction to getting back to that place again. It's almost like... I often talk to other artists about it, you know, getting into the zone. And perhaps that's something that one experienced as a child, this kind of like where you go into this outer physical space and you just get into this timeless place. And I think that's what the studio is. It's just trying to capture that, perhaps.
Yes.
And other people haven't had it. You know, maybe they get that through sport, or they get that through... you know, an adrenaline hit from running or something like that. But a lot of artists got that hit when they were a child.
That's a beautiful way of putting it, Elizabeth.
Getting that zone.
Yeah. Hit. Yes. Yeah, and that hit as well, that searching, that continual searching that seems to be absolutely something I've really, really noticed amongst the really great artists. And actually, in fact, every artist who's really dedicated to their work.
You have to get into that zone. Like, it's very, people say you could just be an artist part-time or you could just do it at night, but it does take a long time to get that intensity of attention, the intensity of thinking. I mean, I do find in the studio, it's almost like maybe if I do this work and cut out elements of consumption and consumer society and things like that, to actually escape it or reorder it. Because I do feel overloaded a lot of times, listening to the radio, television, bombarded with information.
Yeah, tell me about
it. Plus I'm cutting out a bombardment of information too, you know, sales prices, images, things like that. And so by reordering it, I'm perhaps trying to create some quietness about it, or some quiet sort of time. Mm.
So you turn these pieces of paper, the collections, magazine pages, advertising materials, and you use them to create these incredibly ordered patterns.
Yeah.
What is your process in doing that?
Well, each series of work has a different agenda. If I'm using imagery, it's often collecting every different eye and every different rollerblade or runner, and then looking at the shape of them and working out what can I do with these. It's a bit, those works are a little bit like specimens, like how someone would rearrange, you know, organize butterflies and bugs according to species. So I'd organize them and make a sort of design basically out of the shape. So a shoe shape is very like a fish sort of shape, or a car is, you know, a bit like an animal. So I'd start to arrange them. With other works, like a prismatics, which is colour-coded, the shapes are based on the negative space around the object, or the coloured backgrounds, the text areas that I would cut, like a quilt. I'd cut out the scraps and make triangles and squares and then organise them in like a quilt. Other works, I've shredded the paper, the text lines, and done a series of works where it's all just like little slithers of paper, and you get fragments of sentences and text sort of hidden in the paper. So it really depends on what I'm trying to do, in a way, as to what bits I cut out or what sort of geometry it takes on.
Elizabeth, your career has spanned 4 decades, and back in the 1970s, you were considered a feminist artist. First of all, are you happy with your art being labelled as feminist? And what do you think made people say that about your art, or what made your art feminist?
They said that because I said it. I said it in a statement that I was particularly referencing women's work, and I was involved in the feminist movement, and so I identified myself that way. A lot of women artists may not have, you know, hesitance. There was a sort of huge backlash probably the 80s and 90s, where feminism became sort of like the F word, and no one wanted to sort of declare themselves. So, but now there's a big comeback, and it's become quite poignant at the moment to talk about equality for women and gender equality, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
So I identified that way. I mean, I think I've spent my entire life thinking about it, thinking about how the world's made up of 50% of two, you know, male, female, although now there's multiple genders, and, you know, wanting that to be equal. And so part of the thing of using or referencing things like weaving or embroidery patterns or knitting patterns in the beginning was a statement on my part to sort of elevate that into the fine art world, and not keep it in that decorative world. Mm. It's a catch-22 because people assume that women do these sort of fine decorative works, and am I playing to the cliche, or am I elevating it into a different arena? There was a while there where everything I did was interpreted that way, and no one wants to be typecast. And the work isn't always about that. It's about a whole range of issues. You know, you could read it as an environmental work. You know, my studio is like a interrupts the waste cycle. You know, I'm recycling. I'm using things that are normally thrown away and discarded.
Yes.
So I could be reevaluating how we consider things. It's not always, you know, from a feminist perspective. It's just from a contemporary person's analysis of what I'm thinking about.
Now, Elizabeth, your exhibition Cuttings, it opens at Geelong Gallery on the 1st of September and has an array of your work. How does it feel to see all these years of your work come together in one place?
It has its good days and bad days. You know, sometimes I look at it and I remember making them and I think, oh yeah, I don't even, did I make that? I mean, most artists say this. There's a certain distance once you make the work and it's exhibited. You sort of step back from it. But then there is this sort of closeness, I feel, to a lot of the work that I haven't seen, and there is a certain sort of intimacy because I do remember where I was at the time, what I was doing, what was happening in my life. The different papers that I've collected have all got a history to them. There's a lot of papers from overseas that I bring back with me. There's stuff from years ago, recent things. And so they all take on a certain sort of memory in a way. So there's a sort of a distance and an intimacy that I feel towards the work.
Yeah. Do you ever look at your artwork and sort of think, I wish I hadn't done that? Or
Definitely, because I mean, I had to sort of remake a work from the 70s once, not a few years ago, and it was like a very temporary wax paper woven hanging, and it had all gone brown and shriveled up. And they wanted it for an exhibition. I said, well, I've still got it, but I'd want to remake it in the manner in, you know, just like freshen it up. And it was very difficult to copy it because the whole time I'm making it, I'm thinking, why on earth did I do that? Oh, I can't understand the logic of it. And so you move on, and it's hard to go back. There's a large new work that I've made that's 21 metres long. It's like taking collage to the kind of extreme.
Extreme collage? Oh, I love the sound of that.
Extreme collage. Oh,
fantastic. So would you describe it?
It's made up of 2 centimetre, you know, billions of 2 centimetre squares cut out of magazines, black. It's got elements of text, fragments of text and imagery. It goes from one pattern in a way, or one geometry, and it sort of merges into another one. It sort of shifts and changes. But it also, to me, it's referencing a kind of shift of one pattern to another, basically, which is symbolic of, you know, how cultures merge one to the other. We sort of, it just blends. I mean, one of the things is that as soon as you have an exhibition, you become the viewer. At the moment, the work's still in my studio, and so I'm in it. You know, it's still there. But once you get it out and put it into the gallery, I become the viewer.
Yes.
Like the rest of the world. And so then I can see it a bit different. And that's when I look at it and think, oh, God, why did I do that? You know, what am I thinking? Because I can't see that yet. I can only see it to a degree in the studio. So it's a bit like, you know, the singer has to get on the stage and sing. I mean, you can sing in the shower forever, but you kind of have to get out there. And so the exhibition is a way of getting the work out there so that you can step back from it as well.
Elizabeth, thank you so much for coming in to the studio to talk to me and to share your really very deep and very open ideas about what it is to be an artist and how it becomes something that is just sort of goes through the whole of your life. So thank you so much for that.
All right, thank you.
Elizabeth Gower, one of this country's best-loved artists and extreme collagists, if that's a word. Elizabeth's show Cuttings is on at the Geelong Gallery in Victoria, starting on the 1st of September, and the show runs until the 25th of November.